They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I am Sue Bartholomew. You're on the Commons, and joining us on the Commons is a gentleman from Texas, I believe in the Houston, Texas area, and he, believe it or not, is being fined $200 a day for, guess what? Any idea why he's being fined all this money? He's being fined. Tell us, Billy. Tell us why you're being fined $200 a day.
I am being fined by the Forest Lake Townhome Association for flying the American flag on my own property.
$200 a day. Now, Billy, if we talk to anyone from the HOA industry, this would include the managers, the attorneys, and all the little people out there who tend to feed at the trough of HOAs, of homeowners, they would say that you agreed to this. Did you agree to being fined $200 a day for flying your flag?
Absolutely not.
So there was no agreement there.
It is not. And even if there were an agreement, worst case scenario, under Texas law, and this came about approximately 3 years ago through an acquaintance of mine who was a former Marine, was flying his flag in his back patio and was sued by his homeowners association. That went all the way to the Supreme Court of Texas. We now have a law that gives an individual the right to fly the American flag in a homeowners association as long as the flag is on his property. And my flag is off of my front porch. It absolutely, absolutely, no doubt, has never been planted or impaled or in any way on common grounds. It's always been on my front porch, cantilevered off on a special board that I built so that it would not touch the common grounds. And my homeowners association has lied. They said that it's planted in the ground, even though they've seen photographs. They've had people come by and look at it. I've had two attorneys that have looked at it. Numerous police officers that are acquaintances of mine that come by have looked at it. We have dozens and dozens of photographs that we have put out into the community, and yet this homeowners association at Forest Lake Townhouse Association deems it their responsibility to have retaliation against someone who demanded.
Okay, Billy, before we go any further, I really would like our listeners to know you a little bit better. And I would like you to tell us a little bit about yourself. And we will get into all of that. I promise you, we have a whole hour to get into your story. So we'll get there. But let us get to know Billy Martin. Who is Billy Martin?
Billy Martin's a man from a little farming community in Kansas. I grew up with a set of ethics that your God, your family, and your country are sacrosanct to you. I was very fortunate that I received an appointment to the United States Military Academy in 1964 and attended in 1965, went in with a class. While I was there, I had an accident with the 101st Airborne Recondo School and fell 40 feet on my head and shattered my neck.
Wow.
And was paralyzed from my neck down for a while. Because of that, I was offered an opportunity of resigning, and then if I could pass the physical for the next year, I would be able to come back and be what's called a turnback. So I'd be able to stay in the academy and graduate a year behind my class. Unfortunately, even though my doctor said that I could pass the physical, the military was very concerned about me being combat qualified. And so I did not return, but I spent a lot of time. I was one of two senior sponsors for the Roy Benavides Room at West Point, and Roy was the last Vietnam-era soldier to receive the Medal of Honor. Roy was a dear friend of mine, and I sponsored, along with a man by the name of Ab Weber, I sponsored the Roy Benavides Room at West Point. And that's the distinguished meeting room. If the president comes or the president of another country or senior officials come to West Point, that's where they meet. I also had a daughter that attended West Point. And then after my injury, I attended Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas. And while I was there, I taught in the undergrad school before I started law school in the summer of 1970. And during that time, there was a tremendous fervor among some students in the United States to burn the American flag on college campuses, close the campuses down, and burn ROTC buildings. Well, one day while I was sitting in the student union, a group of about six people were in the booth behind me. These individuals had just come from the University of Kansas at Lawrence, about 30 miles away, and had burned the American flag, had burned the Army ROTC building, and closed the University of Kansas down. And these were members of the Black Student Union, the Students for a Democratic Society, the Black Panthers, some very radical groups. And I overheard them say that they were going to do the same thing at Washburn on the next day. This happened on a Thursday. And the next day, they were going to, at high noon, take our flag down, burn it, and burn the Air Force ROTC building down, and close the university in protest against the war. Now, anyone that's ever been to war will tell you that it's a terrible, terrible thing. And I'm a warrior, but I tremendously dislike war because I've lost too many of my dear friends, too many of my relatives, just too many people to war. But my flag, the American flag, the U.S. flag, is a symbol of all those men and women who gave their lives from the beginning of our country until the future to give us freedom. So when I heard these students talk about they were going to close the university down and finals started the following Monday, I thought this is a travesty, and not while I know about this is this going to happen. So the next day, I went out and sat underneath our flagpole in the commons. And unbeknownst to me, there were two men in suits about 20 yards behind me that were watching what was going on. I didn't know about them at the time. But when the bell rang at 11:50, approximately 2,000 students came out on the commons and started marching towards the flag, led by these six or so individuals. And as I watched them come across the commons, well, one, my heart was thumping like a bat out of the Dickens, because that's a fairly formidable number. But I had decided in advance that if I truly had the courage of my convictions, I was going to do everything possible within my power to make sure that my flag was not disrespected, and that the people that had given their lives for this country's defense, this country's freedom, would be honored. So as I sat underneath the flag, as they got closer, I hollered out at them. They were probably 20 yards away at the time, and I told them they needed to stop, because unless they had the courage of their convictions like I did, my flag was not coming down. As they continued shouting at me and coming in closer, I told them, I said, I am prepared to die in defense of my flag. Are you? And at that point, they stopped. And I guess they must have thought either one of two things. Either this is a very, very crazy man who's sitting out here against these formidable odds, or he's very serious and very dedicated, and he means exactly what he says. That day, the American flag proudly flown at Washburn University, and it did not come down.
So this was all about the love of a flag. So you've, this love of your flag, this love for your country, this love for freedom has been with you your entire life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so now that you're an adult and you moved into an association and you are flying the flag, but you think that it's retaliatory. Tell us what happened and why you think it's retaliatory. Why do you think that your association's going after you? Because clearly you're not the only person there that's flying a flag.
You're right. In fact, there's three or four flags on my little row of, what is there, eight or so townhomes here that fly the flag. They come after me for one reason and one reason only. A year ago, I spent nearly 2 months begging, pleading, asking, demanding that our main flag that's flown by our clubhouse be replaced. Now, the board that is in on the association, that runs the association now, took office last November, and they're corrupt. Bottom line is, they are corrupt. They do things for themselves, and if you don't agree with them, they come after you. Well, after 2 months of going to meetings, of sending emails, of asking our office manager for help, asking the president, the other board members, I went to a board meeting one night, and I didn't ask anymore. I gave them an ultimatum. I told them that they had to the next business day to replace our flag with one that wasn't ripped and torn and shredded and was in violation of our flag laws, that I would invite an acquaintance of mine in who is a producer director for an armed forces television station. And yes, ma'am.
I'm just laughing. I like it.
Well, back then he only had about 42 million viewers. Now he has 52 million.
Okay.
And I told him that either they replace the flag or I would ask him to come out and do a story and publish it worldwide about the disrespect that this board was showing to our American flag. Now, one of the things that they did, they told me, well, it wasn't their responsibility. It wasn't their responsibility to replace the flag. And I said, wait a minute, you're the board of directors. You represent the association. You control the purse strings. What do you mean it's not your responsibility? I couldn't get an answer out of them. Now, when I go into groups like this, I always tape. And I have an accurate tape that delineates everything that they said, everything that I'm saying. It's not conjecture. It's not my opinion. It's a fact. So they kept trying to tell me it wasn't their responsibility. And then one of the people on this board, our treasurer, who's a former, well, I called him a former, he said he's a retired Army captain in the military, told me he knew what was the right thing to do with the American flag and that he knew what the flag ordinance was all about. And I told him in front of the board that he had no honor, he had no integrity, that what he was doing was in absolute contradiction to what he should be doing as a, quote, retired Army officer. This individual, I don't know if a lot of the folks know who Cardinal Richelieu was over in France, but he was the man behind the scenes that was the puppet master. Well, this individual is a puppet master. He sends people out to do his bidding. He stays behind the scenes and says, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It's not my fault. It's not my responsibility. But he's the one that directs the board, even though he's not the president. He's the one that directs the board. Well, they did replace the flag. I guess they knew that I was very serious and that I would have had former Ranger Sibley Cooley come in, who was the producer-director, and do a show at the base of our flagpole showing how badly our flag was allowed to fly in total disrespect to our men and women who gave their lives for freedom. Well, after they put it up, just a few days later, I get a suit, or I get a demand letter for me to remove my flag from the common area. Well, since my flag was based on my front porch and is within the confines of my townhouse, I told them there was no way in the world I was removing my flag. I am the only one that they've gone after. They say it's, you know, on common ground. It isn't. It's on my front porch. And I showed them dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of photographs of other people in my townhome association that were having flags stuck down in the ground, out in the grass, in flower beds. One woman here even has a flag, a small flag, stuck in the fork of a tree and taped up with 100-mile-an-hour tape. That didn't seem to matter to them. They've only focused on me. They say that my flag is a detriment to the association. It lowers property values. It is in violation of the bylaws, which we didn't even have anything in our bylaws about the flag. They said it is a hazard if people were to walk by. Just any and everything that they could to harass me. In fact, they've actually replaced the attorney that we had for the association with this female attorney who lives, well, her offices are 300-plus miles from Houston, who has a reputation for taking whichever side pays her, whether it's right or not. And I even talked eyeball to eyeball with this attorney. I told her, why don't you come over and you take a look at my flag? Now, this was before they filed the former suit. This was within the 30-day period, which I had to correct my deficiency. And I asked her to come over. You take a look. You see if my flag's on common ground or if it's suspended in the air like other people have with flags sticking in the side of their house on bases. I said, there's no difference on mine. I said, I've cleared it with the two men who wrote the law for the state of Texas. with the attorney of a former JAG officer in the Marine Corps who represented former Marine Mike Marola in his defense to be able to fly the American flag in his homeowners association, and won. Several attorneys have come that are acquaintances of mine come out and said this is the most ridiculous thing they've ever seen.
We're talking to Billy Martin. Billy Martin lives in Texas. He is being fined $200 a day for flying the American flag. Billy, you said you have a friend who's a producer and director for the Armed Forces Radio Television?
Yes.
Has he done a segment on you yet?
They did a tape that they're putting together to air. Our local newspaper, the Houston Chronicle, when they found out about this, they sent a reporter out, Miss Cindy George, and Cindy actually wanted to find out, you know, from the board's perspective, why this was being done. So I invited her to come to a board meeting. So she came to the board meeting, and one of the tactics that this board of directors uses is that every time I try to be recognized or try to speak at a board meeting, they try to have me arrested. They have hired an off-duty Houston police officer whose only purpose is to keep me quiet. Well, Cindy happened to be at the meeting when they did this again. We had it taped, videotaped, audially taped, and then the board refused to talk to her. So Cindy ran an article in the Saturday paper, and it was a fantastic article. Well, then a television station picked it up and did segments on a Monday for Armed Forces Day, and we were the lead story. The flag was the lead story, and we were doing three sessions, one at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for their news. Unfortunately, they'd spent about 2 hours taping it. Then we were doing a live segment going to tape. But that was the afternoon that the massive tornado hit Moore, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So they cut us down from, I think we were going to have 5 to 8 minutes down to 3 to 4 minutes. So we still had an incredible representation. I had lots and lots of people just drop by my home and tell me they supported me. And they also, I had a lot of people that dropped by and said, our homeowners association is out of control. They're doing things not specifically like the flag, but they're doing the same type of thing. And, you know, would you be willing to talk with us on things that you're doing trying to fight them? And I said, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I absolutely pride myself in is that if you're an American and you understand that this country was founded as a constitutional republic, not as a democracy, but as a constitutional republic, then you have a responsibility to others. You know, the government doesn't have a responsibility to you to take care of your housing and free schooling and all these other things. You have a responsibility to the people around you in your community to make sure that they're afforded the protections that our forefathers gave us with the Constitution. So I agreed, and I've helped several people out, giving them information on contacts and things, but Cindy, after doing the article for the Houston Chronicle on Saturday, she came back the following Saturday because I think that they had so many people that had called in, and it was such a unique occurrence that even with a state flag law, the right to fly it specifically in a homeowners association, as long as it's on your own property, you know, long, if it's on the common grounds, they have a right to keep me from doing that. But when it's on your own property, and they knew what the law was, I've given them copies of the laws, for them to do this, it's unconscionable on their part. I mean, these folks are as close to being evil as I think you can come. The disrespect that they show to veterans and to families that have lost loved ones in the military is just abhorrent. Anyway, she ran a second feature in the Chronicle, and she, her title is Houston's Advocate. She selects stories and is the advocate for that individual to the general public. And she tried to approach the Homeowners Association again. They wouldn't even talk to her. She went to two of the top attorneys in Homeowners Association attorneys in Texas. In fact, I think you've had one of them on the show, Michael Katine.
Yes. Yes, I did.
And one of the things that she had asked them was every time that I try to record a board of directors meeting, they try to have me arrested, saying that I don't have a right to record. Well, a man by the name of Gregory Cagle, who wrote the Texas Homeowners Association law, it's an 800-page tome on what you can and cannot do in homeowners associations. Both he and Michael, as well as the Chronicle, said that Bill Martin has every right to record. Any homeowner has a right to record anything that's said or done in Texas in their homeowners association. Well, when that got published, that just made their hackles rise even more. And they said, you still can't do it. And these people just, you know, they don't respect the law.
No.
They only respect what they want to do.
They like enforcing, but they don't like obeying. That's a big thing. I think it's Mitch Katine, not Michael Katine.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, you're right. Mitch Katine has been on this show. Mitch. So
anyway, I'm a thorn in their side. Now, our community, we have a tremendous amount of people who've lived here since its inception, about 37, 38 years ago. And they're in their 80s, late 70s and 80s. So we have a lot of folks who really don't like what's going on, but they feel threatened that if they speak out,
right,
that retaliation will come against them.
Right.
And as well they should. Had I known in advance, and I've always considered myself a fairly intelligent individual. I've traveled, I think I've been to 143 different countries around the world. One of the things that I did after my injury, because of what I did at Washburn University, I had some people from our intelligence community approach me and tell me, quote, Billy, your country needs you, and we'd like for you to come work with us. So I asked them what I was going to be doing, and they said, well, we want you to help protect this country. And all my life, all I've really ever wanted to do was jump out of airplanes, live in the swamp, and go after the enemies of the United States. So for quite a few years, I did special contracting work for some of our intelligence people in black ops, and then I became a subject matter expert for both Department of State and Department of Defense in a field of counterterrorism. I actually wrote the chapter on anti-terrorism assistance we have a what's called an ATAP program, anti-terrorism assistance program, that we train foreign allies their police and some of their military people over at Baton Rouge at Louisiana State University. And I was selected by Department of State to write the module for that. So I'm not the typical homeowner, I guess. And I have worked against people like Idi Amin. I've worked in every country in Central and South America, through Africa, all over Southeast Asia, tremendous amount of places. One of the main things that I did was I trained a lot of our Tier 1 military special operations units, SEALs and Rangers and Special Forces people. One of my former students right now is the most decorated soldier in Nebraska's history, and he's going up for the slot of a two-star general to be the adjutant general of the National Guard up in Nebraska. And
wow.
He's been asked to run for governor when this governor retires. The governor that's there now has into his second term, and they have term limits there. So when the governor retires, Colonel Brewer has asked me to work with him on his bid for governor. So I've been involved not just in that line of work. I started arguably the nation's largest private medical linen company based here in Houston. I had 42 of the major medical centers here. I was, after 9/11, I decided to get out of the business because I saw what I thought our government, the direction our government was going to go, and I just couldn't support something that we were going to have what I felt was about 75% of the young men and women who were going to be going into Afghanistan, and I knew we'd go into Iraq right after that, that I felt that post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury would have a recidivism rate in what I felt was approaching about 75% of the men and women, because like in Iraq, in the green zone that's supposed to be safe, these young men and women are, you know, fearful of their life 24 hours a day. So I kind of got out of the business, and I went into business with my wife and became the number one specialist for New Zealand, from Tourism New Zealand in North America, and received more awards from Tourism Australia in the time that I was in the tourism business than anyone had ever been given. My wife and I parted ways. I moved three doors down because I loved our little community. But unfortunately for me, I didn't understand this veil that is put in front of homeowners associations, that people are never told when they buy all of the downsides. And as again, I've always said and thought I was a fairly intelligent individual. I've taught at the college level. I'm fairly attuned in the field of debate. My freshman team, I was the assistant debate coach at Washburn. My freshman team was number one in the nation, and my senior team was number three in the nation.
Billy, let me tell you something. When I, at the top of the show, I asked you if you had agreed to being fined, I've had members of the Community Association Institute, CAI, on the show, and I have asked them why we don't tell people exactly what they're getting into, what exactly happens in an HOA. And they looked at me like I was mad, and they said, "Are you crazy? If people knew what they were buying into, they would never buy in an HOA."
Oh, they're absolutely correct.
That's one thing I agree with them on. Radio Fairfax, you're on the Commons with me. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and with Billy Martin. Billy is being fined $200 a day for having the temerity to fly a flag on his own property. Billy, we're going to keep talking and going down now. You told me the other day that You have a court date set for January?
January of 2014, yes, ma'am.
And so the fines are going to continue to accrue at the rate of $200 a day until you go to court, by which time you expect it to be at about $90,000.
That's conservatively.
Is the flag worth $90,000, Billy?
My flag?
Yes.
The flag of the United States?
Yes.
It's worth everything I have. It's worth my life. It's worth my possessions. It's worth my sacred honor. This is something that is so precious to me that if I, by some quirk, were to lose this case, I could not imagine anyone, any jury, that would find against me. But if they did, and I was told if I took my flag down, they'd make it go away, my flag would fly.
If I have any legislators listening in, guys, you've got to start coming down and putting a stop to this. We're coming up to the 4th of July. You've got people like Billy Martin out there who are forced into HOAs, not because they chose to do so, not because they knew what they were getting into, but because for the convenience of municipal governments and the developers, people are forced into these associations. And once they get in there, anything and everything that is near and dear to their hearts is being held hostage, is being targeted, and your constituents, guys, your constituents, these are the people that go to the polls and vote for you. These are the people who send you money so that you can carry on your campaigns. It is time for you to step up, and it is time for you to put a stop. No more fines, no more foreclosures, and limit the powers of associations, or better yet, if you have any decency, do away with them altogether. They will not work. So, Billy, you are, I think, the poster child for trying to bring in some sense and reasonableness back into this. Your home is your home. You bought it because that's where you need to live. That's where you recuperate. That's where you nest. That is your home. Your flag, we have learned, means the world to you. And you're willing to give everything up for it. So I think that you are the poster child for everything that is wrong with the concept of associations. And I thank you for coming on and for sharing with us your story, and letting us understand exactly what this means to you.
Well, thank you, Shu.
We still have time.
I become at a loss for words when this happened to me. Well, even before that, when this new board creeped and crawled and slithered. Slithered's a good word.
It's a perfect picture. It's a perfect mental image.
They slithered into their position. They did it by frightening people here. They did it by lying to people. Right. We had a really good board, and that's why I had never really gotten involved in reading all of the documents and declarations and restrictions and everything, because our board at the time were made up of good people, rational people, people that looked out for the welfare of our association. But we got this character, this treasurer that we have, and he went around to a lot of the elderly ladies that live here that are homeowners and frightened them, telling them that the treasurer who was and this treasurer he was talking about, his name is Ken Barker. Ken's an absolutely man of total integrity. He's been to the Harvard Business School, and he was our treasurer. This individual told people that Ken was stealing money and that he was hiding things, and that we were hundreds of thousands of dollars short. Now, we had a professional accounting group that watched over our books. We were to the penny every time that they balanced our books. They took care of us, and we did the right thing. But this group came in through lies, insinuations. They spread a rumor about our board president that she was having an affair with one of our security guards, and that they, one of their operatives, and I, when I say operatives, I mean it in a very bad sense. This group sends people out to do their bidding for them. They got into our bulletin board areas in the mail room. They were given keys to rip down information that was put up, that that was the only way we had to put up information to get to the general population. This treasurer gave to two of his operatives keys so that they could go in and rip down a letter from a former board member who was resigning. And when she put up the reasons why she was resigning, because these individuals were lying, they were cheating, they were having illegal, criminally illegal board meetings among just two of them, voting on things, not including the rest of the board. And by the way, when I make these accusations, I have copies of security tapes that were made showing these people going in just minutes after this treasurer came in, saw this letter on the bulletin board, behind locked glass. He leaves. Immediately they come in. They didn't even look around. They just came in, opened them up, ripped them down, closed them up, smiled up at the security camera, and the male of the two of them flipped the finger up.
Oh, jeez.
Now,
nice people.
This is what these people are. They're evil. And had I known that, had I known, even though we had a great board at the time when I bought here, had I known all of the downsides that could happen when a group overthrows, and that's what they did, they overthrew our old board so they could take power for themselves. Had I known all of the downsides to belonging to an HOA, there's no way in the world. I own the most expensive townhome in this community. We have 243. Now, I live on Social Security, $1,237 a month. I don't have a savings account. I don't have other income. I don't have property. I, because of decisions that I've made in my life, not to be like an employee of the government, but to be a contractor. Being young, I didn't realize all the downsides to that. And I have a couple of very wealthy ex-wives, but I never anticipated that I would be in a situation to where I took money from my father's estate and put it together with every penny I could scrape up. I sold personal items of mine. I sold pictures. I had a collection of West Point art that was basically the only one in the country. I sold it, and I put together about $275,000. Now, I bought my unit 2 years ago for $47,000. It's a four bedroom, and it's I had been trying to buy it for several years. It went into foreclosure. I bought it at a time my wife and I were discussing that I'd buy this one once I got it renovated and I did all the remodeling myself. She was going to sell unit number 13, and then we'd live down here. Well, over the year plus that it took me to remodel it, things got very stressed between us, and we're no longer together. But I had no idea of the ramifications that the power that the state legislature and local governments have given homeowners association. And when I started researching, and I've always, again, considered myself fairly intelligent, and because when I used to chase terrorists around the world, one of the ways I chased them was I followed the money trail. So to do research and finding out who's bankrolling all of this nonsense in the state legislature, one of the things I ran across was there's this attorney up in the Dallas area who represents several hundred homeowners associations in the state. And from what I've been able to gather and have been told, that he has several thousand units that he's involved with. He's one of our representatives in the state that fights for these homeowners associations to continue to absolutely betray, the citizens of the state of Texas and the citizens that belong to homeowners associations. And I don't use these words lightly. I mean, when you betray the public trust, that you're despicable.
There's something inherently wrong about the concept of homeowner associations. They don't work, for a start. They cause and create more problems. And in your story, as you're talking, I'm jotting down notes. And you know, what you say keeps coming up regardless of what state we're talking to. But people live in fear when they live in an association. And that's something that you talked about. You talked about your neighbors, and you talked about the elderly people. You talk about people who are not getting involved because they live in fear of retaliation. And you've got your story, and you're, as I said, you seem to be a poster child. Billy, we're going to start wrapping this up. We've got a couple more minutes left. But in one of the photos that I saw, one of the pictures, your flag is flying upside down. That is a symbol of distress, correct?
It is the international symbol of immediate distress for human life or property. And when they filed suit on me for flying the United States flag on my own property, I said, I know what I have to lose. I could lose my home over this. And I turn my flag upside down. These people, the board and their little group of supporters, and in their core group, there's only about 20, 25 people. But they used Facebook to call me a child molester, kidnapped women and children, that I have beat up old women, that I have threatened to kill residents around here. Just absolute lies and fabrication. They, through their group, in 1 year, I had over 120 police calls on me. This group, which the treasurer is behind, called the FBI up and said that I was purporting to be an FBI agent, and the FBI came out and investigated me. Well, I actually worked not for, but with the FBI. I was asked to do a mission for them because some folks had threatened a governor of a state, a Supreme Court justice, and two federal judges, and the government had tried for several years to infiltrate. They asked me to. I went in. It took me less than 3 days to infiltrate the group, get the information, and have the people who would have assassinated the governor arrested. Well, once FBI came in and sat down face to face with me and looked at my credentials and found out who I was and what I had not been doing, I was actually thanked by this task force member that came out into my home. These people had sent people out to assault me and then lie about it. It is so vicious and so vile and so evil. Now, when I use evil, I'm also a military chaplain. I'm a chaplain for the American Legion China Post Number 1 out of Shanghai, China. We were founded by General Chenault when he had the Flying Tigers. And we are the only American Legion unit in the world that you have to be invited to join. It's a very special unit. We have a lot of Medal of Honor recipients in the post. Our commander was shot down in excess of 10 times in Laos and Cambodia. And we pride ourselves on our decision to do what we needed to do through sacrifice and service for this country. And I'll tell you right now, as you have said and what I've read on the website and all of the information that I have gleaned over the last year and a half has been one of the most insidious evils, not just in Texas, but across this country,
right,
that have been perpetrated on the American citizenry is this homeowners association. And the viability of these homeowners association stems back to greed and power.
Billy, the other day when I called you to invite you to come on the show, you answered the phone. You were very timid, and you kept wanting to know who I was. And until you realized it was like I was talking to an entirely different person. All of a sudden, you were animated and you were jovial. And you told me that you had received something like 102, 109 harassing calls starting at 2 a.m. in one day?
In one morning, from a little after 0200 hours, somewhere between 0200 and 0230, I received 109 harassing telephone calls from one of the operatives of this board, and it stopped just a little after 6 o'clock. It was astounding to me the lengths at which they go to harass.
Oh yeah.
To do things. Now, it takes a lot to bother me. I've had a contract put out on me by the mafia. I've had a contract put on my family. I've had terrorists around the world come after me. I was invited by the country of El Salvador to come down and put together the first secret service, not secret police, first secret service for the country of El Salvador after the Civil War. And I had people that didn't want me involved, and basically they had orders to eliminate me. Not a lot of things ruffle my feathers, but the tactics that these people use, and then they sit back and think that they have impunity,
yeah,
that they can do whatever they want to do. And if they understand, and they know my background, they know that I carried a badge as a police officer, a law enforcement officer, for over 32 years, besides what I trained for people for the government. If they would do that to me, what in the world would they do to the average citizen who doesn't know the law, who is afraid to fight back,
right,
who has a family and they're afraid, you know,
yeah,
of saying something? My God,
yeah,
what kind of evil,
yeah,
is permeating this country?
Billy, good luck. We are out of time. The time flew by. You are an extremely interesting guy, and I wish you all the luck, but do me a favor, keep in touch, and please let us know how you're doing.
Absolutely. I anticipate an incredible victory party.
Invite me to it, Billy.
I'll tell you what. We'll absolutely do that because maybe, just maybe, we can start our own revolution.
Thanks, Billy.
Bye-bye now. Thank you, Shu, and thank
you. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.